All right, well, good morning again. If you want to get turned to Ephesians chapter 4, we're still there in the fourth chapter. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4, verse 28. We're down to this verse. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Lord, thank you again for your word. And Lord, as we do look to it, Lord, we just ask for your blessing upon it, Lord, that it will be open and receptive to the Holy Spirit. Allow him to change us and mold us more like you. So we do thank you for it. Thank you for your truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to them that need it. I remember as a little kid, many times, especially certain fast food chain that had tacos, but it was also a time where we could get extra condiments. So when we'd go in to eat, we'd stock up on certain hot sauces and things like that. We didn't think anything of it. Hey, you know, it's just a few extra. But that's stealing. And I heard of many people make comments of that. Oh, yeah, when I go to this certain place, I stock up on my napkins. Well, that's still stealing. There's nothing wrong with taking a couple extra or what you need for what was sold to you. But that's still stealing. So whenever we get to this idea of stealing, yes, I do believe that each and every one of us in the room aren't truly full-blown thieves. But I know there's many times in our lives when we really think about it, there's very many, very different ways to steal. It could be time, it could be money, it could be items. Many times I've been accused already of stealing things here. But I did make it clear that I don't steal pencils because I don't like pencils. Only pens and mechanical pencils that are at least 0.9 and up on the lead that's inside. So I was out of that accusation. But anyhow, I think we know who I'm talking about earlier. But anyhow, so there are times where you can steal and might not be mindful. But keep in mind, when we go through all these things, many different ways to steal. All right, so we are to steal no more. So think twice before you say that you're not a thief. So there's many different ways, like withholding, taking someone for granted, deception to receive, borrowing and not giving back. What do I mean by this? How many people do we know that you might classify as being gullible or sensitive or just having a really kind heart? And how easy it is for you, like use an example of like, say maybe someone that wants to go out to eat with a group of people and they're like, oh, there's this person that's going with them, or maybe a person or two going with them that I know has that kind of heart that would say, oh, I'll pay for you. So in that whole process, you know you could play with your debit card, but you didn't bring any cash with you. So you set it up saying, hey, I didn't bring any cash with me, in hopes you'll get a response back, oh, I'll pay for you. And they do. Yes, they gave that. They extended that gift. But you still stole because you set it up when you lied because you knew for a while you could have paid. So you set it up with something you didn't think was a lie. Oh, I didn't bring cash, knowing full well you're hoping that person, that gullible person, that kind-hearted person will respond back and say, I'll pay for you. That you stole from them. No way around it. It's the same way with borrowing something. And then you had it for a certain length of time. You're like, oh, they didn't ask for it back, so I'll just keep it. You stole. So all these different aspects, there's so many different ways to steal. Cheating. You look over at someone's paper. They don't know that you stole from them, but in a way you did. They worked hard to prepare for a test or whatever it is, and then you didn't. So you looked over and took from their hard work. They might not realize it, but you still stole. So it's possible to be a thief when something was given to you. We just went over one of those examples. Just because it was given to you doesn't mean that, oh, I'm sin free. I didn't steal. Oh, no. How did you get it? Did you get it lawfully? Did you still take something that you set up that person with a kind heart or whatnot? In God's eyes, you still stole as well as lied. So think about those things. And I put down other things, like you think of identity theft, where people will lie to get you to maybe give information to them. Yes, you gave over information to them, but they're still stealing from you, stealing identity. A couple of computer terms, since I did computer work for many years, but phishing and smishing. But those are just the ideas of, in the computer realm, maybe you get this email that they set up that looked like maybe came from Amazon, and they want you to click on something. Why? So they can steal something from you. Maybe information, or you get that phone call saying, hey, you owe the IRS money. If you just put this down payment and give us your credit card, we'll take care of it. Well, you gave it to them, but they still stole. So you know that idea. Theft can come in so many different ways. You can steal so many different ways. So keep that in mind and look at your own self and your own life. So Romans 13:9, Exodus 20:15, Walt Turner, it simply says the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not what? Steal. For good reason. We've talked about that. But some of the consequences of stealing. There's physical items that are taken. So things you might have worked hard for, maybe an expensive, I don't know, TV, gaming system, things that a robbery might have taken place. They took things out of your house, maybe guns off the shop wall, whatnot. But not just that. Most people that get stolen from, they say roughly only maybe 1 out of 8 of those people fully recover, like nothing happened, they're fine, they went on with their life. But the other 7 still deal with, all right, I go to bed at night, I can't sleep too well. So I'm thinking, who's going to come in? Or what's going to happen? My safety, my security, my well-being, that fear, all those things are present now in those people's lives. So in a way, you didn't just steal a physical object. You also stole someone's security, their own well-being, and other things from their life. So when you think about stealing, it can have huge consequences. We definitely know what it means to pickpocket or shoplift, and we have that aspect of stealing. But stealing can come in very small ways to very well-known ways, but it's all still sin. It can all still lead and grow and fester and develop into other things. So just be mindful of that. So Paul goes on to say here, as he read, let him that stole steal more. So if you're stealing, don't steal. We understand it. Then he gives a direct answer on how to solve this problem. But rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good. So basically he says, you know a way to solve this problem? Just start working. So I broke this up into 3 different parts of this whole aspect of stealing, stealing no more, and working, into selfishness, which is stealing, and now onto our second point, a solution, which is labor. Work with your hands. This idea of work here is that labor, that toil, fatigue. It means to work hard. It doesn't just mean a 9-to-5 job type of attitude. Oh, he wants me to work, so I'll just go get a job and I'm all still. No, this is the idea of like your life in general. Work, toil, work with your hands. You know, if you have a house, even if it's a rental, you got to take care of it. You got to vacuum sometimes, you got to do dishes. You know, you have neighbors that you hear of that might have need. There's work to be done there. There's things that you hear here with the fellow believers of people going through different struggles and hard times. There's work to be done there. This whole idea of work isn't just a 9-to-5 job. This carries this work of toil where you're constantly striving hard, nonstop, sweating to the point of fatigue is what this kind of word means. And I gave that example of labor. I've never been in labor, obviously, but I've witnessed it, and I don't ever want to go through it, and I'm glad I don't. But you can look at working hard like that. I've seen my wife, and I'm sure other men have seen their wives or heard of the stories where they went through that toil, and they were fatigued. But when the baby arrived, just that sense of, you have a baby. And the joy that comes at the end of that toil. Just like working, when he says the work, that labor. Why? Because there is a joy in it. And we'll get to that in a moment. But there will be this great reward to being able to give to others, to be able to supply whatever the Lord brings into your life, whether it's somebody, something, whatever the case is. He wants us to work so hard that we're able to, later on, one here, to be able to give to him that needeth. And we'll get to that in a second. So that idea of working. Also with your hands at which thing is good. How many people say, I work? I've heard this before. Because I've known people that sell drugs and stuff. I work hard. Sell money. It's illegal. Huh. That's not good work. That doesn't lead to anything good. In a way, that's stealing too, because you sell those things and ruin people's lives and as well as yours. So you have that aspect, and I think I have that as an example. Just because you are working doesn't mean you're listening to what Paul has said here. There are many people that work hard doing the wrong thing, and their labor is in vain. People work hard, and my one example is sell drugs, and some work hard to become doctors so they can issue drugs properly. So that whole idea, and I'm sure you can think of other things in terms of work. So you think about work, it isn't just 9-to-5 job, it isn't just any old work. There's definitely work out there that is not the type of work you should be involved in. Work is a direct answer to overcoming stealing as well as what we are to be doing anyhow. We also think of that habit replacement. How many different things can you help in your life and really help to overcome in your life by simply replacing it with another habit? Maybe there's something that you do at a certain point in time of every day. Maybe it's at night in secret when no one has a chance of calling or stopping by or whatnot. So you're like, now I can do what I shouldn't be doing. Well, sometimes a simple answer to that, to help overcoming it, first step is just to replace that habit and start a new habit. Maybe say that's the time where I want to fill out some cards to people that are sick. But in staying in light of stealing, Paul gives a direct replacement that will solve your stealing needs, is to get to work. Start working for the Lord. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 6. So work is a direct answer to overcoming stealing as well as what we are to be doing. Anyhow, we are to work or labor hard for an honest living. Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6, starting in verse 6. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide or overseer or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy seat? Sleep. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. It's interesting, as an ant. Think about that in your life. You labor. Maybe we can instantly kind of correlate this to farmers who work very hard, then they reap what they sow. And it's not so much that, because farmers continue all year long. It isn't just at the end of harvest they're done. They got to do a lot to get ready for the next season. But in this aspect of the ant work. Work to provide for, say, you, your family, but not just that, but so that there was plenty left over to harvest for other needs. For the ant was to get through that winter, that hibernation, other things. For us, what is it? What do we do with our surplus? Do we use it for the Lord or just for ourselves and turn it into something selfish or what? So the ant, notice at the end of this section, so shall thy poverty come, talking about not working, wanting to be lazy instead. I don't want to work. I am able to. Now, we will get to the point that there are definitely people that can't work. Maybe can work some, maybe can't really work at all. There's people that definitely have certain things going on in life or things happen to them that they can't work. And that's why Paul at the end says to give to him that needeth. But we're not to that point, so don't think that I'm pointing you out to those that truly can't work for certain things. I'm talking to the people that know they can work. So working, being lazy, develops what? One, poverty will come, the one that travaileth. But look at the end there, an armed man. Where does stealing usually lead you? When you're lazy, you don't want to work, then where do you have to get your stuff? Where do you have to get your means to live? Well, you want somebody to either give it to you, you want to take it. That starts down a whole progression of things. Once you start stealing, just with any other sin, it doesn't just stop. Once you know you did one little thing, you're like, cool, I just got something pretty easily. Like if we'll just use the cheating, for example. someone works all night studying real hard, and what you have to do is maybe spend a week developing five different little techniques on how to steal answers off the people in your class. And then you're good for the year. And then that breeds more and more. Till eventually, you obviously have outcomes that you don't learn anything. So you didn't grow, you didn't mature, you stayed where you're at. It will produce more things in life. Oh, what else can I do? Maybe I can take that to a store. Sin will continue to breed. To eventually what? How many people end up being armed robbery? And then you're in certain situations and you have that and you end up killing somebody. It just will get worse. So food for thought. When work is the answer, laziness prevents you from working. That's also a direct result, a direct avenue for you to steal. So there's a reason why Paul says to start working. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs 18. It's more food for thought. Things that are stolen. Can you enjoy things that are stolen? No, you have to enjoy them in a certain way, and it's really not true enjoyment. It's really not true joy. Like if you stole a grill to cook the barbecue this summer, you don't have one, you're like, well, I don't want to work for it. But I know this person through the city that I passed through about 50 miles away. I'll be heading that way not too long ago. I got a truck. Maybe I'll go through at night. I'm going to take that grill because nobody's around. They're usually always away on the weekends. There's a good time. So you take it. Or you take it from some neighborhood thing, you go to grill, so people come over and they say, oh, a nice grill. You're not really enjoying it because you've got to keep lying about it. You've got to keep covering it up. If you took it locally, then you've got to do something. Maybe add your own marking so it doesn't look like the person down the street's grill that you're missing all of a sudden. You can't apply that to the rest of the things that could be stolen. You can never truly enjoy life whenever it's things that you didn't work for. Things that you took from someone else that you didn't lawfully receive. Proverbs 18, starting to read verse 9. He also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. Turn over to Proverbs 21. So sluggards is basically in the same family as those that cause destruction in people's lives. Proverbs 21. Verse 25. The desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor. He coveteth greedily all the day long, but the righteous giveth and spareth not. The idea that sluggard, being lazy, not wanting to work, does bring destruction. You're in the same boat as other things, the people that want to lie, steal, deceive. All it just brings destruction. You saw that with an ant, a perfect example of one that does want. The one that doesn't, what happens? It's definitely a direct avenue to start stealing again. That's why Paul says, get the work and do good work. Work that's just and good. So no work, and flipping over to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Second Thessalonians chapter 3, starting in verse 8, says, neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you, not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. So Paul's basically saying, look, we could allow you to feed us, but we just wanted to make a point just as an example from here on out how you should be doing things daily, just to work for what you get, not just to always want to just say, hey, just give me. It says, not because, well, verse 10, for even when we were with you, we commanded you that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. So another example, and why do I go into this so much? Because Paul makes the comment, the work. So I want to focus on that aspect. because that's the direct answer to stealing. But I think it also brings into some other things we can glean from as well. Here, not working for your food, well, then you're not going to eat. Again, we'll get to there in a second. I'm not talking about people who truly have a good reason not to be able to work. So they're not to eat. And then if that's the case, you have those people, they are constantly not wanting to do anything about their situation, then quietly let them go. Let them reap what they sow. And let them do their own thing until they want to have that desire to change and then go back to helping. So this whole idea of work. Also note too, again, for that it said would not work. So Paul didn't say those that don't work don't eat. He said those that would not work, they're not supposed to eat. So it's that idea, that mindset that yes, again, we have people that truly want to work but sometimes can't. And I don't fall in this boat here. So when one does not want to sin, work, sin does breed. Stealing is usually the first step to many other things in life. So there's the answer, the labor, the work hard. And then that should now breed in selflessness. Not selfishness, but selflessness to giving. Because when you do work hard and you do labor, you don't just go to a 9-to-5 job, but then you also labor because there's money involved usually in work. There's also time involved. There's all these different things. So maybe your surplus of good might be extra money, maybe extra time, or maybe certain skill sets because you invested time and energy to learning more things, more hobbies, so on and so forth. So when the Lord blesses you with those things and you have surplus, Paul now turns around and says, you know, you have this surplus, so give to those in need. And maybe that surplus is because you have extra money. You overhear something, someone needs an extra $20, $50. You don't walk by and say, didn't hear that. And you start thinking about something else because you want to ignore it. No, there's a reason why maybe you heard that. There's a reason why the Lord's giving you extra money. So maybe supply that need. Or maybe you overheard that, hey, this person needs some help putting a door in. They've never done work in their life. They really can't afford someone to install it, but they got their door and they need this new door installed. It might take them all day just to swap a door in and out. And that's taking it whether it's all square or level too. But all those different things. Maybe it was something easy that having the skill, could go over there within an hour or two, have it done. Whereas you could have left them alone and it took them all day and all night trying to read the manuals, watch your YouTube video again and try to get this door. Maybe the Lord's blessed you because of the work you've done in life, the things you got involved with. You know how to do that. What do you do with your labor? That surplus that Paul now says, going back here to Ephesians, let him that steals no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. It isn't just money. It could be time, your labor, whatever the case. So you have this full, like 360, in one passage, which I wasn't going to turn it, but we got the time. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Giving is a huge part of work. Being able to have surplus and toil and labor. Yeah, toil and labor to supply. Yes, you have needs. You have a household to take care of, family to take care of. But then as you continue to grow and grow, you'll come into surplus with something. Maybe it is money. Maybe it is time. Whatever the case. Paul gives an example in the end of Philippians. He talks about how only the Philippians reached out concerning his need in giving. And this is kind of like a response. He makes mention of them, I think, here in chapter 8 of 2 Corinthians. But in chapter 9, verse 4, or 6, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall also reap bountifully. Now, I'm not saying this is a prosperity gospel. It's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying that if you give the Lord $20, he's going to immediately give you $80 or whatnot. That's not what this is talking about. What this is talking about is if you sow in the Lord, you work, you toil, whatever it is, you might come out having a surplus of money. You might come out with a special skill set. Whatever it is, you're going to come out with something. You being able to be a vessel of honor that can be used for the Lord to give. So how are you going to serve? So and toil. Are you going to be a sluggard? Or are you going to be someone who works? If you're going to be a sluggard and don't sow, then you reap sparingly. It's going to lead to stealing. It's going to lead to other things. It's going to lead to sin. But when you're told to work, and you do that which is good, you do it honoring and glorifying to God, you do reap bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And you're blessed with time, talent, money, or whatever it is. Give cheerfully. Give like you want to give it. Because who's allowed you to be bountiful? Allow you to be able to work. Even in the circumstances that we don't want to be in, maybe jobs we don't want to be in, or doing certain things, you still have the ability. The Lord's still giving you something that someone else is still striving, maybe throwing applications in left and right, trying to get a job, and maybe here you do, you have one. There's still plenty of things to be thankful for. And then when the time comes and you hear of people in need, you say, I'm help. I can hold off and be out two more weeks on maybe a trip, or maybe you're buying this or doing this because I want to help my friend out that is in need. Well, are you? So every man according to the heart, so let him give. So don't do it grudgingly. Don't do it out of necessity. Don't think, oh, I have this money. I'm here at church. It's part of doing what I should do. Maybe it's part of my salvation, which has nothing to do with your salvation. And you think you have to give because you have to. It's not the kind of attitude God wants. It's not the kind of attitude when you labor and give to those in need. He doesn't want that. Will it still bless somebody? Sure. Will the Lord still use giving of all sorts? Sure. But the effect it's going to have in your own life when you do it out of necessity or grudgingly, it's not going to have any effect. It's actually probably going to go the other way. So, continue on in verse 9. As it is written, he that hath dispersed abroad, he that giveth to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that minister seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the food of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. Basically, you read this, it's a 360 idea. That when people are, say, laboring, working, and they start giving because they love the Lord, because they love the very people that Christ died for, and especially your own household, and your own household of faith, what happens? The big 360 starts. It benefits someone, and then that in turn might benefit someone else. That whole idea of laboring and giving just completely edifies and just builds up everybody around you. There's no slack anywhere because you're helping. You're doing what the Lord wants you to do. But whenever you do it because you have to or don't and choose to steal, it only causes destruction. We read those examples. But going back to Leviticus chapter 19, you turn there. Leviticus chapter 19. So we know that for various reasons, there are obviously there's good reasons that people cannot work. So we are to have that mindset to work beyond what we need in a way, and to have for others. And that doesn't mean I need to pick up more hours at work. Sometimes it means taking less hours and doing more work in other places, maybe for your family, for your kids. I remember that was the hardest thing of trying to prepare for ministry, is the situations we were in. I basically had no time for my family, to the point where I was like, you know what? This is done. I can't do it anymore. I need to do more things with the family instead. So there's things like that. That working more to have for others doesn't mean that 9-to-5 job and the LDs are turned into 9-to-9 or whatever. We all have our situations. That's all between you and the Lord. But that maybe it's more work hourly, or less work hourly, turns into more work elsewhere. Leviticus 19. So having for people in need. There's nothing wrong with saving, nothing wrong with retirement, nothing wrong for those things. But there's an obvious point that we can cross where we completely neglect and we turn selfish and not selfless. Clear back in the very beginning, even back with the law, Leviticus 19:19. Ye shall keep my statutes. Thou shalt not let thy cattle gender. I think I might be the wrong one here. Verse 9, not 19. And when ye reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not wholly reap the corners of thy field, neither shalt thou gather the gleanings of thy harvest. And thou shalt not glean thy vineyard, neither shalt thou gather every grape of thy vineyard. Thou shalt leave them for the poor and stranger. I am the Lord your God. Several things here. The Lord knows there's people that are going to be in need for one reason or another. He specifically tells them, you worked hard. You planted this field. Despite what other people say, farmers do a lot of work. And they put all that time, all that money, all that effort into growing this harvest. And now they're told, let for the poor. That was part of the law. Let the corners be. When you're out there and you're picking your crop and you go down this row, you're not supposed to go back and glean what was left over because, oh, wait, I can go back for a second. No, let it be. When you go to your vineyard and say, don't pick everything. And then maybe you went through because you didn't quite pick everything, but then you realize, oh, wait, there's some grapes that didn't come in. And now a week later, you're like, hey, I can go back. No, you let that be. You let for people who are in need. So we see that through God's word, clear up to where we're at now, clear from the beginning. There are people going to be in need. There's going to be things that you work hard for. And part of the joy in life of working hard isn't just for yourself. It's whenever you give it over to the Lord and see what He wants you to do with it, then you can experience real joy, real happiness in life. Being able to give to others, maybe saying, I don't need the best of everything in my life. Or what I think. The best of everything comes from other things like friendships and fellowship and things of that sort. 1 Timothy chapter 5, and we won't turn that for the sake of time, and Galatians chapter 2:10 basically compares like when you give and work and you don't want to supply for your family or you don't want to be mindful of the household of God, you're called the unbelief. You're worse than the unbelief. You're actually worse than the rest of the world. Because here you are, fellow believers, your family stuff that you don't care about. So closing thoughts. Where stealing and many other sins exist, it must be replaced, like doing something about it, with a godly replacement. Stealing should be replaced with working. Replace that bad habit with a good habit. And we focused on working because there truly does come a benefit. We talked about the love of money. We talked about that selfishness. In 1 Timothy 6, 10 and 11 talks about the root of all evil is what? Money? I got corrected on this once because I accidentally said, look, the root of all evil is a love is money. And I say, no, the root of all evil is the love of money. And it's true because there's nothing wrong with making a dollar or two. Nothing wrong with that. But when you put your love there, and that you put out the love for the Lord, and you start loving money more, evil comes into play. You can go from being a thief, start working, oh, I'm no longer a thief because I'm making my own stuff, and then end up being a thief. Because you have all this stuff, you have all this abundance, and you say, I'm not going to give. The Lord's blessing. He wants you to be able to help out the poor, help out the needy, help out anybody that's in need. And you can end up being a thief in that sense because now you're stealing from the Lord. Keep that in mind. So don't have that love for money. So this love of money in our work will manifest itself in various ways, funding its sinful desires. When you have that abundance, you say, well, I can get this access and that access, knowing that it will breed more temptations not to work, maybe to be more lazy, to help out less people because now you're occupied with whatever you might have bought. So all these different things of purchasing things that really are temptations of sins, or they become indifferences, like absence of concern towards others. We talked about that. So turn love into surplus in that love by giving. Work hard for the Lord, not for worldly pleasures. Don't forget the priceless gifts that come from obeying the Lord. God specifically tells us, you're stealing, don't steal. Work hard for it. And while you're at it, when you do finally work hard for yourself and get what you want, make sure you have to give to others that are in need. And that comes in various shapes and forms, time, money, talent, things like that. Then what comes out? You're like, well, that's a lot of work when I could just do this. It doesn't make sense to our flesh at all. But whenever you trust the Lord, you know who He is. and how faithful he is, then you'll have things like experiencing real love with people, that fellowship with other people, having more higher quality friends because you're not hanging out with other thieves or people of such. But that other idea of having that confidence, quality friends, certain depressions, anxieties go away because you're giving and you're helping and you see those smiles in other people's lives. There's a big, big reward for working hard, laboring and toiling, and then still being able to give to others. And don't ever judge your labor and your toil by the world. The world will define as all, look at you. You can't really work too much, so you can't really have this. Or, yeah, maybe someone might need help with some food and necessities in life. But that same person can't work in the worldly sense to get the money for those needs and still do a lot of work for the Lord. To send cards, pray for people. I remember people that can't get out of the house really at all, don't drive them, nothing. But they still call. Still pray for people, say, hey, I love you, thinking about you. So never judge. Let your flesh do the judging. Look to the Lord and see what he has for you. Because he understands situations that you're in. But all in all, stealing, we know, is wrong. Replacing it with labor, working that which is good, takes care of that. But also opens the door to many other things. The world has temptations at every level of your Christian life. So you got rid of stealing. Now you're laboring, you're toiling. Now the world's going to say, hey, look, here's money. Come love it. Or, hey, here's opportunity to buy this that you don't need. You know it's going to cause sin and grief in your life. The world's always going to have a response to everything. But stay focused on the Lord. Grow in him. Grow from things like sin. In this case, we're talking about stealing. To laboring. To realizing, wow, I have to give. Don't be selfish again in it. Realizing that, yes, there's nothing wrong with retirement, saving, a little R&R, rest and relaxation. But there's far greater benefit to be able to say, Lord, what do you want me to do with this? And maybe he does open up the door for you to go on vacation. Maybe he opens up that door of you overhearing someone that just needs a little help. Do it. And it would be great blessing involved when you listen to the Lord, not your flesh. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your word. And Lord, just how simply obeying you is always good, always beneficial for us. Even at the giving of love, when you had cursings and blessings to the nation of Israel, and they said, do this or else. Lord, it was for their benefit, because when we do live righteous, when we do what's right, there's enjoyment and happiness for everyone involved. And Lord, we're so thankful for this age of grace that we're living in. And Lord, that you're not always cursing us when we get out of line, that certain things happen. But Lord, there is direct results of the flesh, destruction that can come in our lives to others when we don't live a godly life. And Lord, we do thank you that when we do, there's such great blessings involved by just simply living and loving you. So thank you for it. I allow your word to truly change us and mold us more into your image. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.